and welcome to the Hoop Collective Podcast. We talk about the NBA. It's Sunday evening, about 11 p.m. Wrapping up a weekend that's kind of wiped us all out. McMahon, well, we'll talk about him in a second. First, joining us from Denver, where he went to the Bucks Nuggets game on Saturday, which the Nuggets outlasted the Bucks in. And he'll be going to the big clash, the MVP clash, Embiid versus Jokic on Monday night. It's Tim Bontemps.
Hello, Brian.
I'm not sure that you're trying to say that you feel fine, but I on your face does not tell me you feel fine. You look like you're a little under the weather. You can deny it all you want, but and joining us from Dallas, home of the not hottest team in the NBA, Dallas Mavericks, is a mildly under the weather, but still feisty Ben McMahon.
Howdy, partners. And I will say Bontemps is always that ugly. So don't think that his ugly face is an indication of anything. But listen, let's just get right into the Mavericks, man.
A lot of people like Bontemps. Okay.
So we've heard since I apparently inaccurately stated otherwise in the last podcast. Not a lot of people like the Mavericks right now. Not a lot of people like the Mavericks. Dennis Smith Jr. likes them. He likes putting the dagger in his former team twice in one
weekend. I was
going to
say, people like
playing
the Mavericks right now. That's really the thing. You want to really play in the Mavs.
They are the most disappointing team in the NBA.
Just in case not everybody knows, they lost for the second time in 3 days. They lost to the Hornets on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Second time in 3 days. The Hornets played both games, obviously without LaMelo Ball, but also without Kelly Oubre. And
Terry Rozier,
who missed both games. And, you know, they're not tanking per se. Like Gordon Hayward had a really good game today, but they just don't have the firepower.
They're not tanking because they don't have to, because they stay.
Right. Yeah, no, because they're stuck. They're basically stuck like in the fourth spot, right? Like they don't have a chance to crack top three, but they're a bad team. And the Mavericks lost twice in one weekend to a bad team when the Mavericks have everything in the world to play for. Friday night, according to the point spread, was the biggest upset in the NBA this season. They were a 16-point favorite. Yes. Oof. Thank you, ESPN Stats and Info. A 16-point favorite. And like they came back and got back in the game, but they got their asses booed at home. And it was in the third quarter, they're down 18. As Jason Kidd said, should have been booing in the first quarter. Jason Kidd also came out after that game. He described the first half as awful and dog. And sorry, Jackson, for making you work a little bit harder, but that is a verbatim quote. Now, Jason Kidd, criticism had such great impact on his team. The Mavericks played worse in the first quarter today in Charlotte. I forgot how much they were down. It ended up being 30-16. It was one of the worst quarters I've ever seen Luka play. He's 0-6 from the floor. You know, obviously Luka's going through stuff, as he said, basketball-wise and in his private life right now. Like, I've never seen this guy look this down. And he admitted he's as frustrated as he's ever been. And again, he did say there's stuff going on in his private life, which I think I have an idea what that is, and we're not going to speculate. He has a right to a private life. But basketball-wise, he's like he had a terrible 40-point game today, okay? 40-12-8, and he stunk. Now, he got it going offensively, but he got his 16th tee because he's bickering at the refs the whole game. He spends so much time bickering at the refs. I had a scout the other day tell me Luka Doncic is the worst transition defender in the history of basketball. I want to say that's hyperbole, but man, when he gets in all in his feelings and he's yelling and screaming at refs and he's not crossing, forget half court, he's not crossing the free throw line on some of these possessions. Like he's playing as poorly defensively as we've seen him play. And that Kyrie can't buy a bucket. Like Kyrie shot like crap these last couple games. They've got a flawed roster. Jay Kidd has no solutions. And the fact they played as poorly and with as little energy as they did to come out today, 36 hours after he was blasted, that tells me J. Kidd's voice ain't getting heard in the locker room. I think that's pretty clear. And then he's Like he's scrambling. The starting lineup is a half to half proposition at this point for a team that's a full game out of the last play-in spot in the West and does not have the tiebreaker against the Thunder. They are rowing uphill upstream. And, they ain't got a whole lot of trusty paddles.
I think they're 7-13 since the trade. What's their record with Luka and Doncic?
Luka and Doncic and Kyrie and Irving. They are 3-8 with those guys. And, for a lot of the time, they lit it up offensively. Like I said, Kyrie in these last couple games, really the last, since he aggravated his foot injury in that game against Memphis, he stunk. When 0-8 in that fourth quarter, we talked about that last time. These last two games, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the shooting numbers are really not pretty. And obviously, if he's not lighting it up offensively, it's not like Kyrie impacts the game in a lot of other ways. Mark Cuban, I don't think he made the trip to Charlotte. He left that Question Authority T-shirt at home. Maybe it's still tucked into those jeans hanging up in the closet. But, Cuban throwing a fit in the Warriors game, like the lack of composure for this franchise starts at the very top. And the two faces of this franchise are Mark Cuban and Luka Doncic. And both of these guys are so far in their feelings and padding right now because they are the faces of the biggest disappointment in the NBA right now. That's a big part of it.
Well, look, when they made this trade for Kyrie in early February, since then, they're 8-13. They've got the 11th best offense in the league. That simply is not going to be good enough when you have the lack of defense they've got. And not surprisingly, they sit in 24th in defensive rating, give up 118 points per 100 possessions, just under that. It's not a very good team. It's not a team that's going to be good enough to get where they want to go. I said at the time they made the trade, it was a desperation swing to go get a guy like Kyrie Irving, who brings a ton of baggage, who could leave in 6 months as a free agent, to give up most of the assets they had left to trade, to go get him, to trade a guy like Dorian Finney-Smith, their only good perimeter defender, one of the few guys left with a good contract that they could use later, to use a first-round pick, all that stuff. That was a huge swing that this partnership with Luka and Kyrie was going to be good enough to get these guys where they want to go. Instead, we're sitting here. They've got 7 games left, right? 7 games after today, McMahon?
I can't do math right now. Something like that.
Well, 7 or 8 games left. I'll look it up when I'm done talking. They're not even in the top 10 spots in the West. There's the possibility they could be sitting there on lottery night waiting to see if they keep their draft pick instead of sending it to the Knicks.
They might.
It's the Porzingis trade because it's top 10 protected.
And they might send the 11th pick. You want to talk about worst case scenario. They might send the 11th pick to complete a failure of a trade.
Yeah. I mean, look, this has gone even in the worst case scenarios that you laid out or that I could have laid out in the wake of making the Kyrie trade. I would not have said they were going to finish 11th in the West or 12th in the West.
I thought they'd be a little better. We called it a desperation trade at the time. We sat here and said, this does not make the Dallas Mavericks contenders this season. I didn't think that they would be worse after the trade than before it. Now, obviously, Luka's missed significant time. He was hurt at the time. Then he got hurt again, different injuries. Kyrie's had the foot injury. But again,
well, the bottom line is they're 3-8 when they play.
Exactly. So I'm not going to sit here and say, if they just had some health. No, you know what? They had those two guys in the starting lineup Friday and Sunday. And in 96 minutes, I think they led. I might have screwed up the math on a tweet earlier. I said they led 81 seconds in 96 minutes. I think I shortchanged them 10 seconds. So I apologize for that. 91 seconds out of 96 minutes is how long the Mavericks led one of the worst teams in the NBA that has nothing to play for other than Dennis Smith Jr., who, you know what? He got a raw deal in Dallas. I think not that they misevaluated him, but they damn sure mistreated him in Dallas. And he loves, giving a little payback to this organization. He hit a dagger three and looked at the bench and said, hold that L on Friday. He had a dagger alley-oop. I don't know what his exact words were, but he had some words for him today. And like the Mavericks right now, man,
Well, and by the way,
it's looking unlikely they're going to be a freaking play-in team after going to the West Finals last year.
Well, by the way, the cherry on top of the sundae is they're going to Indiana Monday, where they're going to play most likely without Luka because he gets a 16th technical today.
That technical will not be rescinded.
Well,
there was a pool report.
So in case people didn't see where they were asked about what happened, they said he used profanity and it was deemed a correctly given one later. And somebody, the follow-up was as though this was a correctly given technical. And they said, yeah. So that ain't getting rescinded after a pool report.
Well, the other thing is, look, Luka does not, he's doesn't get benefit of the doubt from the league office. He got two T's rescinded a couple years ago, ended the year with 15 instead of 17, narrowly avoided a suspension. Two T's rescinded last year, including one in the second to last game to avoid a suspension. Now, that ended up kind of being bad luck because he got hurt. Brunson goes for 41 and 31. His price goes up. We know the rest of that story. The only T he got rescinded this year was because he was clearly yelling at Dwight Powell and not the referee. But as I joked with somebody in the league office, those were the 3 seconds of that game where the refs wouldn't have been justified giving Luka a T because it was one of those things where they finally just heard his voice enough and teed him up. And it was just the one moment he wasn't yelling at them.
That's what happened today, I think. He didn't like go at the refs. It wasn't even really that close to being a foul. It wasn't like an incredibly controversial play. I think they were just tired of it, we talked the other day about how I thought he was lucky he didn't get a T for the money sign. The league hit him with a $35,000 fine, which is indicative of them saying, last straw. He's not getting the benefit of the doubt.
Well, and tack on $255,838, because that's what a one game suspension costs him.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
the thing about this team is when we were calculating what they were going to be, we were operating under the belief that Luka and Kyrie would play well. And I know it's not wholly because they haven't delivered, because there's been injuries, but they haven't played well.
Well, Kyrie really has until this weekend the second half of the Memphis game. And then Luka's had moments, but those guys can play really well. Like, there's another end of the floor. And this is a bad defensive roster.
They're not playing well enough offensively to make up for the downsides.
I don't remember who said it to me, but somebody said to me after the trade, this is last year's Utah Jazz without Rudy Gobert. That's exactly what this team is. They are a team that can score at times when they're hitting shots and they're going up and down the court. They have no perimeter athleticism. They have nobody who's going to stay in front of anybody. And they don't have one of the great defensive players of the generation behind them to clean up all the messes. It's just the theory of this trade from the beginning made no sense. It made no sense in the short term, and it made no sense in the medium term, because you're putting all your eggs in the Kyrie Irving basket in theory that you're going to have him want to stay there for the long term, A, and B, if he does stay there for the long term, it's going to work. And as we've seen, stop after stop after stop, that's not what's going to happen. So we'll see if maybe they could convince him to stay for all the years and all the money, which will end up being a disaster, or he'll leave in a few months, and this will go down as a completely catastrophic move for them. But as we sit here today, like, again, we go back a month ago, I would have never said this team would be sitting in 11th. Oh. And you look at the last 5 days, they lose to the Warriors at home, a team that can't beat anybody on the road. And then they lose back-to-back games to the Charlotte Hornets.
Well, they lost LaMelo. To the Grizzlies without – I know the Grizzlies have been playing well.
The Grizzlies beat people without Ja.
The Grizzlies have good players. Tyus Jones is a starting point guard on many NBA teams. They have a good team. Losing to the Warriors and then losing these games, a huge game at home against Golden State.
Okay.
They got the Grizzlies without Ja.
Forget the Grizzlies. Forget the Warriors. Your season is damn near on the line, and you come out and just get boat raced in the first quarter on Friday and Sunday by the freaking injury ravaged Charlotte Hornets.
Yep.
All right, this is bad news. The team that's in front of them right now, well, the Lakers and Thunder are in front of them. The Thunder, who had kind of a so-so West Coast trip, they went 2-2, barely beat the Blazers today, even though the Blazers were pretty much in full tank mode.
That was a rough. I watched the final 6 or 8 minutes of that game. That was a rough basketball game. Both teams got the result they wanted.
They are full blown tank Blazers. They are tanking as hard as they did for the second half of last season.
They sure are. But Oklahoma City got the win, which ultimately that's all that matters. That was a big win for them because, as you're about to say,
more Hoop Collective podcast after this.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, girl-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Here's the next three games for the Thunder. Hornets at home. I don't know. Maybe the Hornets are a new
juggernaut. Red hot Hornets.
I guess. I mean, I guess I shouldn't give it to them. Still, they're playing in Oklahoma City. Pistons at home. At Pacers. None of them are back-to-backs, which means that, what just happened?
Well, Draymond just made a ridiculously bad pass that was stolen, and then Karl Anthony Towns just buried a three on the break, put the Wolves up two with 9.9 seconds to go. This game matters on a couple levels. Not only are these teams battling.
Sure matters to the Mavs.
Well, that's more bad news for the Mavs.
Well, it matters to the Mavs. It also matters to the Sacramento Kings because, as we'll get to trivia later, and partly related to this, if Minnesota loses this game, Sacramento is guaranteed a playoff spot for the first time since 2006. Minnesota wins, they can clinch tomorrow when they remember who they host, but the Kings have a home game Monday night, I guess tonight, because by the way,
the Cavs, the guy was at the Cavs Rockets game tonight, and the Cavs qualified for the playoffs the first time without LeBron since 1998. I saw a list. I don't know who put it out, so I can't remember who to give credit for, but of the Cavs core players, the last time Darius Garland wasn't born, Jared Allen wasn't born, Evan Mobley wasn't born, and Donovan was 2 years old the last time the Cavs made the playoffs without LeBron. But you know who else is interested in this outcome? Excuse me, has anybody checked in on the New Orleans Pelicans?
Yeah, because they're winning those games. Those dudes
just have gone four in a row.
Yeah, they've won four games. So they've shot up 17 places in the Western Conference standings, which is what we've been saying.
And you know what? Last week, I poo-pooed last time we were on here. I was like, they beat the Spurs, the Rockets, and the Hornets. Like, come on, we can't take this seriously. But you know what? You have to take it seriously. And this West play-in picture, like, you have to take it seriously. And they beat the Hornets, who, as bad as we're talking about this Mavericks weekend, I forgot to mention, the Hornets were playing the butt end of a back-to-back on Friday night, and the Mavericks got just embarrassed.
Yeah, and the game before, all their guys got hurt. So New Orleans actually...
By the way, to finish your point, Brian, because I interrupted you, Oklahoma City has Charlotte and then Detroit at home, and then they go to Indiana on Friday. Chance for them to get three wins in very winnable games.
The key is no back-to-backs because we know Shea has been getting bothered, although he did play in a back-to-back earlier this week.
Well, the Charlotte-Detroit games are back-to-backs, but they're also both at home.
My fault. Misread. Anyway, the Lakers, who are also right in front of the Mavericks, they lost on Sunday. LeBron comes back. I have to say real quick aside, LeBron comes off the bench. Second time in his career, he comes off the bench.
What were the circumstances of the first? I know you know
this. It's a great one. It's really a great one. You know, it's definitely a line in the ultimate book that I will still write anyway. The only time he ever came off the bench was 2007. Anderson Varejao had held out throughout the entire fall and into the season. And like the first week of December, signed an offer sheet with the Charlotte Bobcats. Still didn't, I guess held out isn't the term. He was a restricted free agent and never signed. Finally signs an offer sheet like 2 months into the season. The Cavs match it. And so he comes in kind of as a little bit of a villain because the Cavs had gotten off to a bad start. LeBron had missed 5 games with a hand injury, which was the most he'd ever missed in his career at that point. So Varejao's first game after he had to like go get his visa, and there was, it took a while. Varejao's first game was LeBron's first game back, and the team had been on like a 5 or 6 game losing streak without LeBron. And so they brought LeBron off the bench and brought him in the game at the exact same time as Varejao, so that Varejao would not get booed because the fans were also excited to see LeBron. And my favorite memory from that is we all kind of figured out what it was. And after the game, for some reason, we interviewed LeBron before Coach Mike Brown. And LeBron basically said, yeah, I came in so Anderson wouldn't get booed.
Yeah.
And it was, I respected the move, by the way. You know, he kind of had his teammates, but not kind of, he had his teammates back, even though, you know, the holdout had hurt the Cavs for sure. And so then we went to Mike Brown and we're like, hey, why'd you bring LeBron off the bench? And he's like, oh, you know, he gave some sort of answer, you know, work him in, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, well, you know, LeBron just said that they, that he did it because LeBron must have given the walk-off interview. That's how he must have
heard. Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, we were armed with the information that LeBron had spilled the beans. And Mike Brown was like he looked like somebody pushed him. And he goes, he told you that? And we're like, yeah, he just said so. And he's like, oh. Well,
whoops,
you know,
so what are you asking me for?
So the best is somebody goes, hey, will you bring LeBron off the bench going forward? Cause they won and they'd lost like 5 in a row. They won. And Mike Brown goes, I'm going to have to watch the tape. And he said, look at his straight face. And he didn't come off the bench again for 16 years.
Well, that's like the all-time interview. That's like the all-time interview when Stan Van Gundy talked to the Knicks media as he was about to be bounced from Orlando, and as Dwight was like ready to get him thrown out, and basically all but said that Dwight was trying to get him thrown out, and then Dwight, you know, wandered over and put his arm around him and tried to act all buddy buddy, and Stan was like, "I'm just going to leave now."
sipping that Dr. Pepper and walks right off. By the way, they asked Darvin Ham today, why'd you bring LeBron off the bench? And he said, haven't you heard? This is Austin Reeves' team now, baby.
Listen, I have heard.
Just kidding. He didn't say that. Mac 10 did.
So speaking of Mac 10, he had a story after the game. LeBron played 19 points and the Lakers lost. Okay. LeBron after
minutes,
the game.
Right.
Scored 19 points.
Oh, he scored 19 points. I thought you said I thought you said played 19 points. I didn't see. I didn't know how many minutes he played. That's why I was asking.
Yeah. He said that two doctors told him to have surgery on this foot tendon, which he apparently tore. And then he went to a different doctor who he said was, quote, the LeBron James of feet. And which was a great line. He wouldn't say who it was. He wouldn't say where the guy was. And that guy said that he didn't need surgery. But then when he was asked whether he needed surgery in the offseason, he said, I don't know. And if I do, you'll never know because I don't talk to the media in the offseason. And by the time the season starts again, I'll be back. So there's a lot of
LeBron will never spill the beans either. He wouldn't want you to know how much he's gone through to get back on the floor.
Minnesota wins, by the way, after Steph misses a three at the buzzer. So big win for Minnesota. Sacramento gets a chance to clinch at home now on Monday night.
So Towns has come back and in a week basically made 2 game winning plays. And the one was a free throw, but this is a game winning.
Speaking of dramatic injury returns, yes.
Okay. So I don't know what to make about this LeBron thing. I'll just say again, this has all the hallmarks of 2 years ago when he came back from the sprained high ankle sprain, wasn't right, gutted through it, and then admitted that there's no way he should have been playing. So we'll see.
Well, and let's see if he can stay healthy too. I mean, this is the same thing, you know, if Kevin Durant is able to come back this week, as he potentially may, like, let's see if he can stay on the court also, you know. It's one thing to come back. It's another thing to stay out there.
When he came back, he actually played 30 minutes a day and, you know, moved well. There was obviously signs of rust, you know, five turnovers. Some of those might be chipping off some rust. I don't know how the foot affects your ability to like contest a shot, but certainly did not do a good job of that when Zach LaVine hit a clutch three. And then he got too small by old Pat Bev. Old Pat Bev, a little bucket in the lane. And Pat Bev started the morning with some Charmin advertising on at the Lakers' expense.
Hold on. You're going too fast. You're going way too fast. Oh, you're covering too much too fast.
There we go. Slow me down.
First off, Zach LaVine. He scores 32 in this game. The Bulls are 10-5 since they signed Patrick Beverley.
Ooh.
And everybody on that team, not everybody, I should say, a number of players and Billy Donovan have pointed to Beverley's arrival as a pivot point for the team, making them changing their energy, changing their focus, changing the attitude in the locker room. Like, DeMar DeRozan doesn't hand out. He's not looking there. You know, DeMar DeRozan doesn't really BS typically. DeMar DeRozan is singing praises about Pat Bev. Zach LaVine, in the last 12 games, Casey Johnson from NBC Sports put these numbers together, so I'm trusting him. Last 12 games, Zach LaVine, 30.2 points per game, 52.3% field goals, 46% on threes, 88% at the line. And Bev, do we honestly so Bev puts on social media he's sitting in his car with a what do you call it, a package of Charmin?
Was it ultra soft?
It was just a thing, tissue paper buy at the or toilet paper you buy at the store. Did you see what Patrick Beverley's explanation for this was?
He said that he got paid for it.
Yes, well, it was clearly. I mean,
hashtag Charmin partner.
Yeah, I mean,
other people like quote tweeting it. And like, by the way, Charmin, how the hell do I get on that list? I like money and trolling. Like, I'm perfect for this. Other than not being famous, damn.
Okay, I'll take Pat Bev's word, because saying that usually you put hashtag ad. He didn't put that.
He put hashtag Charmin partner.
Okay. It was just strange, man. The timing was very strange.
The timing was ideal. The timing was
there's also a picture of him in a car, which was clearly not I would assume that was not a picture taken that day either.
He had been trolling the Lakers since he left, and he told them, they were asking AD about this the other night. He said he's going to come back and ruin the Lakers season. And the man hits a dagger and two smalls LeBron right in the middle of the floor, cussing out fans. And I mean, listen, I'm mildly surprised that Pat Bev didn't wipe his butt right there on the floor.
Well, he said after the game that he's a spoon that stirs, I don't know if the drink stirs the stew, and the Lakers were using him as a fork. So
why are we psychoanalyzing Patrick Beverley so much? We're wasting way too much. Listen, Patrick Beverley's a lunatic. The Bull, and let's talk about the Bulls.
If Pat Bev's any kind of utensil, he's got to be a knife. There's a sharp blade.
That's true.
Anyway, the Bulls left for DOA with the Lonzo Ball news. Not that was stunning. It like wasn't like they were expecting to come back, but like
a whole another year at least.
I just, you know, Pat Bev, I mean, I don't want to say it was a desperate move, but it was a
buyout move. Like, guys tend to be buyout guys for a reason, right?
Yeah,
like it's not like this was some blockbuster trade. By the way,
didn't he wait for like a week or 10 days before the Bulls signed him? It wasn't like they were there the minute he got bought out from it was Memphis who bought him out, right?
No. This one was Orlando. Memphis was a wild.
Memphis was Memphis was last year, and then he went to Minnesota.
All right, sorry. Anyway, the Bulls are playing much better. Go ahead, Bontemps.
No, I was going to say. I mean, you look at we've focused a lot on the West play-in for obvious reasons because it involves 19 teams. But the way Chicago has played, winning 7 out of 9, they've basically ended the race to get into the top 10 in the East. With Washington losing tonight, they're 4 losses back with 7 or 8 games to go. You pretty much know the 10 teams in the East. And now with the way today shook out, you've got Chicago not only in the top 10 now for sure, when it didn't look like it was going to be that way for a long time. They're now only a half game behind both Atlanta and Toronto to get into 8th. And as we've talked about a bunch, being in the top 8 as opposed to 9th or 10th is a huge difference because it means you win one game, or you only have to win one game to get in instead of 2. And look, it's not like this has been a successful season for the Bulls really on any level. You go back to what this team's expectations were. You go back to the beginning of the season, Arturis Karnishevis, the team's head of basketball operations, said, we need to take a step forward and win a playoff series this year. That was what the goal he set was. I would not have set that goal myself personally.
Does winning a play-in spot count? Does winning out of the play-in count as winning a series?
I mean, they probably should count it that way, given the way the year has gone. But
listen, here's the deal. If they don't send the Magic a lottery pick, then this is a hell of a season. I mean, that's the rallying cry. Do not send Orlando another lottery pick.
Well, look, I was going to say the way they've played over the last couple of weeks, you know, it doesn't make this a successful season, but they can at least point to something beyond the fact that it's been an abject disaster, led by the fact that Lonzo Ball has not played. And we haven't really talked about it on the pod. Now is having surgery that Adrian has reported could cost him all in next season. And it's unclear if he's ever going to play again in what's just really a sad story. But you go back to the middle of last season, the Bulls were 27-13 halfway through last season, up near the top of the East. Lonzo hurts his knee, and they've been a below 500 team ever since. And, you know, they got to figure out what they're doing. Nick Vucevic this summer, DeRozan's got 1 year left on his deal. They got some questions to answer, but, you know, the last couple of weeks have definitely changed the trajectory from them for being
what's
just a complete disaster
to
one to have some hope
Pat
in.
Bev.
Well, I think they'll be able to afford it. I think they'll be able to afford Pat Bev if they want to keep
him. Well, that's the thing. Like, Bev came into the Wolves last year and
he helped them.
He helped them, and like everybody fell in love with him, and he got an extension. Now he's not going to get extended out of this because he's on a minimum, but
yeah,
like Pat Bev has done this before.
I would argue he got extended to be put in a situation, which is what happened to him this summer. Is he got traded?
Fair
twice.
Enough. But
that
they,
was why
they
he
also
got extended.
Extended him. They also extended him because everybody on the team liked him.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting with Pat Bev. It's like he's either loved in the locker room, or like teams can't wait to get rid of him. And like, you know, the Jazz, we don't want him here. The Grizzlies, they didn't want him. You know, the Magic obviously didn't want him. The Lakers had him for a year or half a year. It was like, it's time to go. But then he in Minnesota, like, they don't make the playoffs without him. He was good on the floor, and I think he really helped guys like Anthony Edwards and you know, Jaden McDaniels and some of those young guys. And then obviously with the Bulls, like, he got there. They're playing a hell of a lot better. You got to give him some credit.
Yeah, I mean, credit where credit's due. They're 9 points per 100 better with him on the court over 420 minutes. Like, that's a pretty
well. And you know, the other thing change. Is, like, obviously he's not Lonzo Ball as far as Lonzo's a much better shooter. Lonzo's a much better passer. But the Bulls, they were winning because they had Lonzo Ball and Caruso as a defensive duo that were really, really good. You know, say what you want about Pat Bev. He can be a pain in the ass defender. Like, the guy, you know, there'll be times when he is too small, but he's going to be it ain't going to be fun to be guarded by that guy.
And he is shooting, and he is, by the way, shooting 31% on threes and 39% from the field. So, you know, again, like, yeah. The idea
I agree. I'm just telling you, I'm reading these quotes from these dudes and they're 10-5. What do you want me to say?
No, listen, I know. My point is just that I don't think Pat Bev's going to be walking into some 8-figure contract again this summer.
Agree.
At some point, but he's shown that he's made a difference for them. There's no question.
With a minute left, the game was kind of already in hand, but he, you know, just one last little
door slam. He hit like a, he got LeBron off balance and like made a move and threw up like a half hook and then made too small move. And then afterwards he goes, that's no big deal. I do that to everybody.
It does.
I know. So the interesting thing here is it's a home and home. The Bulls now host the Lakers in the Lakers next game on Wednesday. I think do the Bulls play between now and then?
Yeah, the Bulls play the Clippers on Monday at Staples or Crypto or whatever it's called.
And then they go play another Pat Bev revenge game. The Clippers gave him up after all.
He's only got like half the league as a revenge game.
Right. So in the last year plus.
Yes.
The Clippers, Grizzlies, Jazz. Hold on. The Wolves traded him, but they liked him. The Clippers, Grizzlies, Jazz.
Bulls, Jazz, and Lakers. All five of Lakers. Yeah, well, the six teams moved on from him. The Clippers, the Grizzlies, the Wolves, the Jazz, the Lakers, and the Magic. All of them said, well, for one reason or another, we're going to move on for Patrick Beverly. That's impressive.
But he made $30 million the last 2 years.
Hey, listen, it's a lot more millions than me. Full credit to him.
Good. That's how I can afford to leave that Dolce & Gabbana suit at the ESPN studios.
You got it back. It's been returned.
I have insight
into that. It's been returned.
You gave it back?
I did not give it back. I know it's been retrieved. All right, Bontemps. This is a very exciting. First off, I want to hear what you took coming out of the Bucks game on Saturday night. The Bucks were ahead in that game, and then it looked like the Nuggets just kind of warmed down. It was the second night of a back to back for the Bucks.
It's the toughest back to back in the league is going from Utah to Denver or vice versa. The two altitude games you play. Obviously, Utah's not quite as high up as Denver, but it's pretty close. And, you know, even though Milwaukee only played, 25, 30 minutes of a blowout win over the Jazz, which, by the way, in that blowout win over the Jazz, we saw referee James Williams get on Jazzy Bears four-wheeler and ride around the court after the third quarter. One of the weirder things I've ever seen at an NBA game.
Yeah, I saw Gucci Mane was the halftime entertainment in Atlanta today. It was between quarters. The other Gucci Mane, the lookalike, was between quarters in Utah. I can tell you, a lot of people thought that was pretty funny. I'm just here to tell you, some folks with the Jazz were not real amused.
Yeah, I heard this. I heard the same. Brian dropped a tweet from, I think, Sarah Todd into our group text in the middle of the, I was at the Sixers Warriors game. I was like, wait a second. I went and pulled it up on League Pass to see if that was true. So I was like, this has to be some sort of mistake or something.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
And then I was like, well, I guess it's not. I guess it's not a mistake. Here's James Williams rolling around on Jazzy Bears four-wheeler.
And if you saw the footage, he was like giving people courtside fives. And there was a gentleman, there's a gentleman who had his hat backwards who did not extend his hand for a five. That was a certain billionaire by the name of Ryan Smith.
That's a good catch. I didn't see that on the video. Yeah, that's great.
Yes. But no, there were people with the Jazz who were not amused to that.
And yeah, did Ryan Smith call Mark Cuban and say, hey, did you license those challenge? What was it?
Question authority.
I couldn't question remember. Authority I boxed t-shirts. The joke. I boxed yeah.
the question authority. There's a lot of people in Dallas questioning the authority of the Mavericks front office led by Mark Cuban with the decisions being that were made over the last, we can go back more than a decade.
But yeah.
Anyways, neither here nor there.
Well, nonetheless, it was a back-to-back. You remember when the Nuggets came in and played the Bucks about, I don't know, 5-6 weeks ago, it was a back-to-back there. They were coming from New Orleans and the Nuggets shut a bunch of people, including Jokic, down. And so that was kind of a dud game. This game, Chris Middleton played and Giannis played. It wasn't like that. It was a
they played everybody, and in particular they held out Chris Middleton playing Friday because he isn't playing back-to-backs yet. Joe Ingles played both halves of the back-to-back. I think that might have been the first time he's done it since coming back from the ACL. And Chris Middleton did not play in Utah, and they held him out, I think in part because they knew the Jazz were sitting a bunch of guys they'd win comfortably, which they did. And also I think the Bucks, you know, wanted to come in and make a statement in this game in Denver. First half was awesome. Second half, they very clearly ran out of gas. I mean, there's a lot of talk here in Denver about how great Denver's defense was. I mean, they basically just sent the entire kitchen sink at Giannis and said, we're just going to let these other guys shoot threes. The Bucks must have missed 25 wide open threes in the game. I think they shot 36 from three overall, and all of them were hitting the front of the rim. I mean, it was pretty classic legs being tired in the second half, but you know,
can I ask you a question? Were sure. you did you make the trip to Shotgun Willie's to do any reporting the night before? And did you see any Bucks out there?
I did not, and I don't know what they were doing. But I was in Golden State watching Joel Embiid put up a billion points against the Warriors.
Likely story. It's open late, Von Timms. It's a likely story.
Unlike the NBA teams, I don't fly private and be able to get in the night of the game. So
I'm gonna reach out to New York Post and see if we can get some surveillance video. Although I know your cheap ass wasn't in the VIP room, and you damn sure didn't cover it with dollar bills. hey, the Joker though, listen, he went right at Brooke Lopez. I'm a little surprised that Brooke Lopez is right now. I looked today, I didn't realize he had been reestablished as the defensive player of the year favorite. That surprised me, but Joker went right at him and had a Joker type of game.
Vegas has no idea what's going on with these awards odds. We saw this last year. The final straw poll came out and the odds flipped completely around. Like Vegas has no idea how these voters are going to vote. I don't know how the voters are going to vote. We're going to find out this week when we do the final straw poll after this game tomorrow. But yeah, like you said, Jokic played great. Denver came out in the second half. They put their foot down, sent a message, won the game. It was a really good win for them. Michael Malone thought it was their best win since they beat Memphis at the start of the month. It's obviously been a pretty rough couple of weeks overall for Denver. Had that slide in the middle of the month, lost to the Knicks, lost to Toronto, lost a bunch of games, made this MVP race a lot more open. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was disappointing. We didn't get to see either of these Bucks Nuggets game with everybody at full strength and fully go. You know, it would have been nice to see them not one of the teams not be on a back-to-back those times. It'd be nice to have Philly not be at the end of a week where they've played in every time zone. Now
don't you start making those excuses for Embiid. He doesn't need your excuses.
I'm not making any excuses.
He might need James Harden back in the lineup, but he doesn't need your excuses.
He's not getting any excuses for me. He's had this game circled for a while, and I think I expect him to be ready to go. We'll see if James Harden can play. I was not at the game in Phoenix last night, but Friday night I asked Doc if he thought James could come back on this trip. He thought there was a chance he'd come back at Phoenix and a better chance he'd come back against Denver. I think the fact that James didn't play the last couple games is probably the reason they lost both games. Certainly why they lost.
He played pretty damn good in Golden State.
Nah, his numbers were good. The fourth quarter of the game, they were terrible in both stretches when Joel was out, in large part because they couldn't run anything on offense. And down the stretch in the fourth quarter, in particular on Friday, the whole team, I mean, Joel was unbelievable, and they just couldn't really do anything else around.
Listen, so say what you want about Harden, but the man can get you organized, and he's a hell of a, you know, he can run an offense and he can make decisions, and like, you know, he's got a case as an all NBA guard, despite the fact that he's no longer a 30 plus point per game scorer.
He's had a fantastic season, really underrated. I thought he absolutely should have been an all-star. It was one of the biggest snubs to not make it. And yeah, look, I hope he does play in this game, because it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to be very curious to see, you know, we saw in that first matchup between these two teams back in January when Embiid went bonkers, scored like 47 and they won. Second half of that game, they basically just put PJ Tucker in Nikola's grill and didn't let him get into the dribble handoff stuff that he likes to do. And it really short circuited Denver's offense. I'm going to be curious to see if they could do that again. But look, you know, everybody knows what's at stake as far as the MVP race goes. Game's going to be on national television on Monday night. There's going to be a ton of interest in it. And, you know, I think if you ask Joel, if he's honest about it, he believes that he didn't win MVP last year because they lost those games to Denver and Milwaukee late in the season. I'm not sure I agree with him that that's the case, but, you know, they came out, they've been ready to go for this game, and they get this game tomorrow, and then they get Milwaukee at the end of the week, and then they get Boston after that. I mean, they've had a brutal schedule down the stretch, but they've played great. And the fact they've played this well, and the fact he's been this dominant, is why he's put himself back in the mix to win the award. And I think there's a little doubt he's going to be guns blazing, trying to score as many points as he can and get this win against Denver tomorrow night.
I'd like to say that one game doesn't determine the race.
Yeah.
But I suspect that if let's say the game plays out similar to the way the game did in Philly,
right?
Not making the assumption that it's Embiid who dominates. Let's just say that maybe it's Jokic who dominates.
Sure.
I suspect it will.
I think it'll have an impact. I'm not necessarily sure it'll determine the entire race, but it'll. I think it's got a chance to have an impact on it for sure.
Well, the voters are going to struggle here to try to break the tie, parse it out.
Look, these odds have flipped. Embiid is actually the favorite at this point. I'm looking at you know, various casinos here. He's the odds vary from, you know, minus 145 to minus 225, but he's the favorite, and Joker is number two on all these at this point. And look, obviously Embiid cares much more about this award at this point. Really,
okay, but just to be clear.
Also, hold on, I want to say something about this too. I'm kind of tired of hearing this stuff about Joel caring more about winning this award, and that like Nikola Jokic is just over here not paying attention to anything. He has no idea what's going on. Like, agree. Life is grand. Absolutely. Like, come on, give me a break.
Of course he wants to win it. Of course he wants to win it.
You know what? I'm not sure about that. No, I'm not sure.
No way. No.
Let me finish. Let me finish. And don't you get all jackassy on me. Let me tell you something.
There's only one of those on this pod. It's not me and it's not Brian.
Joker's got two of these things. And does he want a third? Sure. I'm not sure he wants three in a row. I'm not sure, because just what we've talked about before about the historical context and pressure that comes along with being a back-to-back-to-back MVP, I think he might rather not be bothered with that.
I'm tired of hearing this. I'm tired of hearing about Nikola Jokic. Oh, he doesn't care. I'm not saying he's unaware of it. I know you're not. I'm just saying this whole narrative that's come up, that like basically is making fun of Joel Embiid for wanting to be MVP of the league. You know why Joel wants to be MVP of the league? Because he wants to go down as one of the great players of all time. Yeah. And to do that, as I've talked to him about privately, he's said this, you need to win MVPs, you need to win championships. That's why he wants to do it. He wants to be considered an all-time great player.
Because he's an MVP caliber player. If you're an MVP caliber player who's never won one, of course you want to win one.
Yes, and that's what I mean. It drives me crazy that this is treated like it's some sort of character flaw that the guy wants to be considered the best player on the planet. Like it's ridiculous. Well, so much of the talk about this award is ridiculous, because all three of these guys have unassailable cases to win the award. and one of them has to be first and one of them has to be second and one of them has to be third. And the idea that you don't vote for your preferred, whoever named the person, whatever your preferred candidate is, means that you're stupid for not voting for the other guys.
And the whole thing
drives me insane.
And they've all stat padded. Like we would always say, you know, Giannis isn't a stat padder. Giannis did the intentional rebound that the NBA had to wipe off the next morning. Like, no,
that label has been ripped off. That label has been ripped off.
You know, Joker had a blatant stat padding thing to get a last assist in a game against the Mavs. Like that, they don't. And like Embiid, have there been games where he's stat padded? Sure. Have there been games where, you know, he poured on a few extra points as he chases a scoring title? Sure. But I don't think any of those guys you can accuse of putting their numbers above the pursuit of winning games for their team. And here you are, the Nuggets are number one in the West. Bucks are number one in the East. You know, we'll see how things play out. But the Sixers have a pretty good shot at being number two. If not, they'll be number three. Like, they've all had unbelievable seasons for teams that have won a bunch of games.
Well, all this makes me more interested in Monday night as much as I possibly can be. And also...
Mm. Wait, do you get to watch this one? You get to watch this? Are you going to be out of Omaha?
I think it's on NBA TV. Isn't
it's on NBA TV.
I won't get to watch it. Legally.
You'll have to watch it. You'll have to watch it later on tape.
Legally. On Tim or Wendy's a rule breaker these days. Boy.
He's probably got his own private feed, McMahon.
What's going on with illegal streaming?
All I'm going to say is last straw poll, I voted for Giannis. And what has happened that should make me change that? I guess Embiid has just been destroying, but like the Bucks are like 25-5 in their last 30.
Nah, you can't vote for Giannis because he didn't get that triple double. Gotten that triple double, he'd have been your MVP. But without that last rebound, no way.
Well, the straw poll comes out this week. I don't know. I'm fascinated. I'm going to be fascinated by it because it's so close to the end of the season.
The official BS poll.
That's right, the official one. So, Bontemps has got to prepare for collecting those votes. All right. It's late. Bontemps has got to prepare, get some rest for that game Monday night.
Right. Bontemps is going to do some reporting in Glendale, Colorado is what I hear.
Rest your voice, McMahon. Although you got stronger as this pod went on.
He's always ready to go.
Some Shotgun Willie's talk really kind of boosted my energy.
Throwback. Thank you to Jackson, our producer, who flew home from Florida and then immediately turned on the computer when he got in the door to record this. Thank you, Jackson. And thank you to for you've listened to the Hoop Collective. We'll talk to you guys in a few days.
Adios, amigos.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.